What does it mean to win? Particularly in a Christian context. Winning can mean very different things depending on the rules of the game. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. If the game of life is seen as a zero-sum game, meaning that there are limited resources and the winner has the biggest pile of chips at the end of the game, then winning means there are losers who have less. But what if the name of the game is love? What if the resource that really matters is limitless? What does victory look like? V is for victory. Sing it out. 'Tis a glorious word. V is for victory. It is ours through Christ our Lord. Some days may be dark and drear. In Christ the way's all clear. For we have victory. Victory in Christ our Lord. That was one of the songs we would sing in my youth group when I was in high school. It sounds almost like a high school football cheer, doesn't it? Victory in high school sports involves a winner and a loser. Victory in battle requires a winner and a loser. Does Christ's victory require a loser? How do we reconcile the picture of Easter victory with the suffering servant? During this Lent, we have considered what it meant that Jesus was called to be a suffering servant and emptied himself. Like Jesus kept reminding his disciples, his call as Messiah was to be a different kind of Messiah, a suffering servant, not a conquering hero. While we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior and welcome him as our hero who conquered sin and death, we wave palm branches. So how is it that we see Jesus both as a conquering hero and a suffering servant? What does victory in Jesus really mean? One of the classic theological theories of atonement is called Christus Victor, which can be translated the victorious Messiah. By atonement, we mean the reconciliation between God and the world. All atonement theories begin with the death and resurrection of Jesus, but each attempts to explain how and why. How did Jesus reconcile the world and God? Why did he have to die? The Christus Victor theory states that Jesus won a wondrous victory over sin and evil through his death and resurrection. There are many hymns that capture this theory. For example, Christ Arose, the words I quoted at the start of this sermon. Another example you can find is stand up for Jesus. The first verse says this, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. On a cosmic level, this is Jesus conquering Satan, who had figuratively become the prince of the earth when he introduced sin in the Garden of Eden. While this image has some value in characterizing our personal struggle against sin and temptation, the value has become less helpful over time. We know that Jesus was not an army general, and he did not lead a revolt against Rome. Militaristic hymns like Onward Christian Soldiers and stand up for Jesus no longer appear in the Presbyterian hymnal. The horrors of warfare make the metaphors of battlefield victory less useful. in considering what happens with Jesus' atoning act on the cross. Consequently, we know that discussions about Jesus as victor are on a different level than we would normally think of when we think of military victory or triumph. Therefore, we need to consider what a victory that comes through faith in Christ means for us. Simply stated, victory in Christ comes through love, a limitless resource. It has been said that love is one of the few things that multiplies when it's given away. Jesus conquered sin and death in the unlikely way of dying for us, the ultimate expression of love. We are likewise called to be conquerors in the unlikely way of loving. This is the kind of triumph accomplished by a suffering servant. Love vanquishes hate. We are invited to participate in this victory by the commandment that Jesus gave us on Maundy Thursday when he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Jesus has completed his victory, his triumph, by showing that death is not the final word. We participate in that victory through love. The same unconditional love which Jesus showed us by suffering for us on the cross. John says it this way in his first epistle. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only with the water, but not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth." That's John 1, chapter 5. That's 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Just as the disciples misunderstood what true victory the Messiah brought, so we misunderstand what true victory is for us in our lives. Victory is not vanquishing our foes, but loving our enemies. Victory is not crushing the opposition. It is wishing everyone reaches their highest and best potential as creatures of our God and King. Victory includes all God's children in the kingdom, the peaceable kingdom that we heard read this morning from Isaiah 65. Perhaps this is not the victory we have come to expect at the end of a battle or at the end of a state championship football season, but this is how God defines victory. Conquering the world means establishing the kingdom of God, also envisioned in Isaiah 11, which says this: "The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. May each of us do our part in bringing in the peaceable kingdom that is God's victory, the triumph of the suffering servant. May each of us participate in Christ's victory by keeping his commandment to love one another. May it be so. Amen. Having heard